Welcome, my amazing friends. Today's story is not just another biography. It's a journey into history, a tale of power, ambition, and destiny. This story is not just about any man. It's about one of the greatest warriors, kings, and leaders the world has ever seen. Have you ever heard of a man who conquered almost the entire known world before the age of 30? A man who never lost a battle, whose name still echoes through history after more than 2,000 years? A man who fought like a lion, ruled like a god, and inspired millions even after his death? Today, we are talking about Alexander the Great. This is not just a story. It's an experience, a lesson in courage, intelligence, and leadership. His life was filled with adventure, danger, love, war, and victory. And as we go through his journey, your English will improve, your motivation will rise, and you will feel the thrill of history like never before. So, sit back, listen carefully, and get ready to witness the making of a legend. The prophecy of a great king. Alexander was born in 356 BC in the city of Pella, the capital of Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece. But his birth was not just an ordinary event. It was surrounded by mystery, legends, and prophecies. His father, King Philip II of Macedonia, was a strong and ambitious ruler. He had transformed Macedonia from a weak kingdom into a powerful military force. But Philip was not just looking for a son, he was looking for a successor, a king who would rule the world. Some believed she had connections to the gods. She was obsessed with one belief: her son was destined for greatness. The night before Alexander was born, strange things happened. Olympias had a dream that a thunderbolt struck her womb, setting it on fire. Many believed this meant her child would be powerful like a god. Philip had a vision where he saw himself sealing the womb of his wife with the symbol of a lion. The priests told him, "Your son will be as fearless as a lion and rule the world." On the day Alexander was born, the temple of Artemis, the goddess of war and hunting, was burned down in Ephesus. Many believed this was a sign that a mighty force had entered the world. People started whispering, "This boy was not just a prince. He was a warrior chosen by the gods." From the moment Alexander could walk, his training for greatness began. Unlike ordinary children who played with toys, he played with swords and shields. His mother told him daily, "You are not like other children. You are meant to rule." Philip wanted his son to be not only a great warrior, but also the wisest man in the world. So he brought the best teachers for him. And then came the most important moment of Alexander's childhood. He was given the greatest teacher of all time, Aristotle. Aristotle was not just a teacher, he was a genius, a philosopher, a scientist, and one of the greatest thinkers in history. For 3 years, Aristotle taught Alexander everything: science, philosophy, politics, literature, and the art of war. He introduced him to the great heroes of history, like Achilles from the Trojan War. Alexander became obsessed with Achilles and saw him as his idol. He even carried a copy of Homer's Iliad, a book about Achilles, wherever he went. But Aristotle also taught him something even more important: the power of vision. He told Alexander, "A true king does not just rule a land, he rules hearts. A true leader does not just fight, he builds a new world." These words shaped Alexander's destiny. He did not just want to be a king, he wanted to be a god among men. One of the most famous stories of Alexander's childhood was the story of Bucephalus, the wild horse. One day, a trader brought a huge black stallion to Philip. The horse was powerful but untamable. No one could ride him. He kicked, roared, and threw off every rider. Philip was about to send the horse away, but Alexander stepped forward. He was only 12 years old. "Let me try," he said. Everyone laughed. How could a small boy control such a wild beast? But Alexander saw something others did not. He noticed that the horse was scared of its own shadow. So he slowly approached, turned the horse toward the sun so it couldn't see its shadow, and gently calmed it down. Then he jumped onto its back and rode it like a true warrior. The crowd went silent. Philip, his father, was shocked. He ran to Alexander, hugged him, and said, "My son, Macedonia is too small for you. You must find a kingdom that matches your greatness." This moment proved that Alexander was not just a prince, he was a leader, a warrior, and a legend in the making. At the age of 16, Alexander was no longer just a student. He became a commander in his father's army. Philip had many enemies, and he needed a strong army. He trusted Alexander to lead men into battle, and Alexander never disappointed him. He led his troops with intelligence, courage, and strategy. While other commanders used brute force, Alexander used his mind. He studied his enemies, predicted their moves, and struck with perfect timing. The soldiers loved him. They didn't just see him as a prince. They saw him as a leader who could take them to victory. But then, everything changed. When Alexander was 20 years old, his father Philip was assassinated. No one knew who did it, but some suspected it was Olympias, his own mother, who wanted Alexander to take the throne. Suddenly, Alexander was not just a prince, he was the king of Macedonia. And he had a choice: stay in Macedonia and rule a small kingdom, or take his army and conquer the world. What did he choose? The world. The moment Philip died, chaos erupted in Macedonia. Many powerful men thought that Alexander was too young to be king. They wanted to take the throne for themselves. Some of Philip's closest generals, nobles, and even nearby kingdoms saw this as their chance to attack Macedonia and destroy the royal family. But they didn't know who they were dealing with. Alexander was not an ordinary king. He didn't waste time mourning his father. Within days, he took control. He declared himself king of Macedonia and made it clear he would not tolerate rebellion. The first challenge came from his own people. Some nobles, including powerful generals, refused to accept him as king. Alexander acted fast. Before they could gather support, he hunted them down and executed them all. Even those who had served his father for years were not spared. He made one thing clear: betrayal would not be forgiven. But the biggest danger came from the city of Thebes. Thebes was one of the most powerful cities in Greece. After Philip's death, they saw an opportunity to break free from Macedonian rule. They gathered a huge army and declared war on Alexander. They thought the young king would be weak and scared. They were wrong. Before Thebes could attack, Alexander marched his army straight to their gates. When the people of Thebes saw his army, they laughed. They believed they could defeat him easily. But then, Alexander struck like lightning. With brilliant strategy and unstoppable force, his army broke through the city walls. Within hours, Thebes was burning. Alexander gave one final order: destroy everything. His soldiers killed thousands, burned their homes, and completely wiped out the city. Thebes, one of the greatest cities of Greece, was gone forever. The message was clear: if you stand against me, you will be erased from history. After the destruction of Thebes, every other city in Greece was terrified. Athens, Sparta, and other powerful cities immediately surrendered. They knew that Alexander was not just a king, he was a force of nature. Now, with all of Greece under his control, Alexander turned his eyes toward his true goal, conquering the world. And the first step? Persia. At that time, the Persian Empire was the most powerful kingdom in the world. For centuries, Persia had controlled huge parts of Asia, Egypt, and even parts of Europe. Their king, Darius III, ruled over millions of people, with an army so large that no one had ever dared to challenge him. But Alexander was not afraid. He knew that Persia was rich, powerful, and full of resources. If he could conquer it, he would become the greatest king in history. So, he gathered his army, only 35,000 men, and prepared for war. But before leaving, he did something that shocked everyone. Before sailing to Persia, Alexander did something no other general had ever done. He burned his own ships. His soldiers were confused. "Why are we burning our way back home?" they asked. Alexander stood before them and said, "We have two choices, conquer Persia and return home as kings, or die here." This was a turning point. There was no escape, no retreat. They had to win. With fire behind them and an empire ahead, Alexander and his army marched into Persia. The first Persian army stood waiting for Alexander at the Granicus River. 40,000 Persian soldiers stood on the other side, ready to crush the young king. Alexander's generals were worried. "This battle is too dangerous. We should wait," they said. But Alexander laughed. "I don't wait. I win." And with that, he led his army straight into the river, charging at full speed. The Persians were shocked. No one had ever attacked like this. The two armies clashed, and the battle was bloody, brutal, and fierce. Alexander fought like a demon. With every swing of his sword, Persian soldiers fell. His horse, Bucephalus, carried him like a storm through the enemy ranks. The Persian generals targeted Alexander, but he was too fast, too strong. By the end of the battle, Persia had lost 10,000 men. Alexander had lost barely 400. It was a complete victory. The march to the heart of Persia. After the Battle of Granicus, city after city surrendered. Alexander moved like fire through Persia, capturing one city after another. The news of his victory spread all the way to King Darius III. Darius was furious. "Who is this young fool who dares to challenge me?" he shouted. He gathered the largest army Persia had ever seen, more than 250,000 soldiers. This was the biggest challenge of Alexander's life, but he was not afraid. As he stood before his men, he said, "We are not just fighting for victory. We are fighting for history. We are fighting to become legends." Instead of chasing Darius immediately, Alexander turned south toward Egypt. Egypt was a rich and powerful land, but the people there were tired of Persian rule. They hated Darius III. So, when Alexander arrived, something surprising happened. There was no war. The Egyptians welcomed him as a hero. They believed he was sent by their gods to free them from Persian rule. In Memphis, the capital of Egypt, the priests crowned him Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. Alexander, always thinking ahead, visited the famous Oracle of Siwa, a mysterious temple in the desert. The priests there called him the son of Zeus, meaning he was chosen by the gods. This only made him more confident. He now believed he was destined to rule the world. Gaugamela, 331 BC. Now, it was time to end Persia forever. In 331 BC, Alexander marched east to find Darius III. They met at Gaugamela, a vast open battlefield. This was the most important battle of Alexander's life. Darius had over 250,000 soldiers, the biggest army Persia had ever seen. His soldiers stood in perfect lines, stretching far into the horizon. He had war elephants, chariots with spinning blades, and heavily armored Persian warriors. Alexander had only 47,000 men, but he had something Persia didn't: his genius. Darius believed that his massive army would crush Alexander. But Alexander had a brilliant strategy. He tricked the Persians by moving his troops to the right, forcing Darius's army to break formation. In that moment of confusion, Alexander saw an opening. He charged straight at Darius himself. Darius, in fear, turned and ran away. The mighty Persian king, ruler of the greatest empire in the world, was running for his life. Without their king, the Persian army collapsed. Thousands of Persians were killed, and the rest surrendered. With this victory, Alexander became the ruler of the Persian Empire. Babylon, Susa, and Persepolis, Persia's richest cities, fell into his hands. In Persepolis, the grand capital of Persia, Alexander did something shocking. To send a message that Persia was gone forever, he burned the entire palace of the Persian kings. Flames rose high into the sky, and the once mighty empire was now nothing but ashes. After the glorious victory at the Battle of Gaugamela, Alexander stood at the peak of his power. Persia had fallen, and the young king from Macedonia was now the ruler of the greatest empire the world had ever seen. But his journey was not over. He wanted to expand his empire even further, to the very edges of the known world. However, power brings enemies, not just on the battlefield, but from within. Now we will uncover the conflicts, betrayals, and controversial decisions that shaped his final years. After losing at Gaugamela, Darius III, the Persian king, fled east, hoping to gather more troops and reclaim his throne. But he was abandoned by his own generals, who saw that Persia's defeat was inevitable. One of these generals, Bessus, decided to betray Darius. He captured him, tied him in chains, and left him to die in a deserted place. When Alexander finally found Darius, he was already dead. This was not the victory Alexander wanted. He had hoped to capture Darius alive and prove his superiority in battle. Instead, the Persian king had died a humiliating death. To honor his fallen enemy, Alexander gave Darius a royal burial and declared himself the new King of Kings of Persia. But claiming Persia was just the beginning, now he had to control it. Alexander was now the ruler of two very different worlds, Greece and Persia. His Greek and Macedonian soldiers saw Persians as enemies, but Alexander had a different vision. He wanted to unite East and West. To do this, he started adopting Persian customs, such as wearing Persian royal robes instead of Greek clothing, following Persian court traditions like proskynesis, where people bowed before the king, marrying a Persian princess, Roxana, to symbolize unity. His Greek soldiers hated these changes. They felt betrayed, believing their king was becoming more Persian than Macedonian. One of his closest friends and generals, Clitus the Black, openly criticized him, saying, "You have forgotten who you are. You are a Macedonian, not a Persian king." Alexander, drunk and enraged, grabbed a spear and killed Clitus with his own hands. The moment the anger faded, he was filled with regret. He had killed a man who once saved his life. This incident showed how much Alexander had changed. He was no longer just a warrior, but a man struggling with absolute power. As Alexander's empire grew larger, his paranoia grew stronger. One day, his men discovered a secret plot to assassinate him. Among the suspects was Philotas, the son of Parmenion, one of Alexander's most loyal generals. When confronted, Philotas denied the accusations, but Alexander did not trust him. He ordered Philotas to be tortured and executed. This was not enough. Parmenion, Philotas's father, was still a powerful general commanding Alexander's forces in Persia. Alexander feared that he might take revenge, so he made a cold decision. He ordered Parmenion's assassination as well. This shocked the army. Parmenion had been like a father to Alexander, yet he had him killed without proof of betrayal. This was the moment when Alexander's rule became absolute. He no longer tolerated any opposition, not even from his oldest and most trusted allies. Even after ruling the largest empire in history, Alexander was not satisfied. He wanted more. His next goal? India. In 326 BC, Alexander crossed into the Indian subcontinent, where he faced his toughest battle yet, the Battle of the Hydaspes River against King Porus. Porus's army was different from any enemy Alexander had faced before. They rode into battle on war elephants, massive creatures that terrified even Alexander's strongest warriors. But Alexander, as always, was a master strategist. Instead of facing the elephants head-on, he used speed and deception to outmaneuver Porus's army. After a long and brutal battle, he emerged victorious. But instead of killing Porus, Alexander was impressed by his bravery. When he asked Porus how he wanted to be treated, the Indian king replied with dignity, saying, "Like a king." Alexander, seeing a warrior as fierce as himself, not only spared Porus but made him an ally. This victory opened the gates to further conquest. But there was one problem. His own army refused to go further. After years of war, Alexander's soldiers were exhausted. They had marched over 17,000 miles, fought in countless battles, and endured extreme conditions. When Alexander wanted to push further east, they refused. They wanted to go home. Alexander was furious. He tried convincing them with speeches, reminding them of their glory and victories. But for the first time, his words had no effect. Even the greatest leader in history could not change the will of tired men. He had no choice but to turn back. This was the first and only time Alexander faced true defeat, not from an enemy, but from his own people. On the way back to Babylon, Alexander's army suffered greatly. They crossed the harsh deserts of Persia, where thousands of soldiers died from thirst and starvation. When Alexander finally returned to Babylon in 323 BC, he was not the same man. His body was weakened by years of battle. His mind was restless, knowing he had not conquered the whole world. His empire was too large, and ruling it became a bigger challenge than winning it. Then, one night, at the age of just 32, Alexander fell ill. For days, he lay in bed, unable to speak. His generals gathered around him, asking, "Who will rule after you?" According to legend, Alexander whispered his final words to the strongest. On June 10th, 323 BC, Alexander the Great took his last breath. His death left the world in shock. No one knew who would rule next, and soon chaos erupted. But even though Alexander was gone, his impact never faded. This created a massive power struggle among his top generals, known as the Diadochi, Greek for successors. At first, they pretended to rule together, but deep down, Each general wanted absolute power. Soon the empire broke into pieces, leading to years of brutal wars. The empire was eventually divided into four major kingdoms, ruled by his generals. 1. Ptolemy I took Egypt and started the Ptolemaic dynasty, which lasted for 300 years. 2. Seleucus I controlled Persia and parts of India, forming the Seleucid Empire. 3. Antigonus I ruled Greece and Macedonia, but his kingdom didn't last long. 4. Lysimachus took Thrace, modern-day Turkey, but his rule was short-lived. Alexander's dream of a united empire was gone, but his influence was far from over. Even though his empire was divided, one thing remained: his vision of spreading Greek culture. This era is known as the Hellenistic period, where Greek ideas, language, and customs mixed with local cultures across the world. Some of his greatest contributions include: 1. The Greek language became a global language before Alexander. Greek was mostly spoken in Greece. After his conquests, Greek became the international language of trade, politics, and learning. Even centuries later, Greek was used to write the New Testament of the Bible. 2. The city of Alexandria, a center of knowledge. One of Alexander's greatest ideas was building new cities in the lands he conquered. The most famous was Alexandria in Egypt, which became the intellectual and cultural capital of the ancient world. It had the largest library in history, the Library of Alexandria, where scholars from all over the world studied science, philosophy, medicine, and literature. 3. The influence on science and mathematics. Alexander's empire connected the East and West, leading to major scientific advancements. Famous Greek scientists like Archimedes, Euclid, and Hipparchus made discoveries that still affect us today. Euclid's Elements became the foundation of modern geometry. 4. The spread of Greek art and architecture. Greek-style temples, statues, and theaters were built across the empire. Even in India, Greek art influenced Buddhist sculptures, Gandhara art. Alexander never forced people to abandon their cultures, but he introduced Greek ideas everywhere he went. Alexander became a role model for many great leaders throughout history. Julius Caesar, Rome, 100 to 44 BC. The most famous Roman leader, Julius Caesar, admired Alexander. When he was young, he cried after seeing a statue of Alexander, saying, "At my age, Alexander had already conquered the world, and I have done nothing." Caesar later used Alexander's strategies to expand the Roman Empire. Napoleon Bonaparte, France, 1769 to 1821. The French emperor studied Alexander's battles and used his tactics to win wars. Napoleon even said, "Alexander was the greatest general who ever lived." Modern military schools. Today, Alexander's strategies are still studied in military academies around the world, including West Point, USA, and Sandhurst, UK. Even though Alexander was one of the greatest leaders in history, he was also a controversial figure. Reasons he was a hero. He never lost a battle in his life. He spread Greek knowledge and culture across the world. He treated defeated enemies with respect, like King Porus in India. He had a vision of unity between East and West by marrying Persian and Indian women. Reasons he was a villain. He killed thousands of innocent people in his conquests. He executed his own friends and generals when he suspected betrayal. He became more paranoid and ruthless in his later years. Was he a hero or a villain? That depends on how you see him. But one thing is clear: his impact on history is unmatched. Alexander's death is still a mystery. Historians have different theories. Natural illness, typhoid fever, or malaria. He had high fever and severe pain. Poisoning. Some believe he was poisoned by his own generals who feared his growing power. Autoimmune disease. Some modern doctors think he had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which paralyzed him before death. No one knows the truth. But what we do know is that his legend never died. Alexander died young, but his story still teaches us powerful lessons. Dream big. He was just a boy from a small kingdom, but he believed he could rule the world, never give up. He faced impossible challenges, but he always found a way to win, be open to new ideas. He respected different cultures and learned from them. Power comes with responsibility. His downfall came when he let power consume him. He was not perfect. No one is. But his name will live forever. Even 2,300 years after his death, Alexander the Great is still remembered. His cities still exist. Alexandria in Egypt, Kandahar in Afghanistan. His military tactics are still studied. His influence shaped the world we live in today. Many conquerors came after him, but none left a legacy as powerful as his. That is why he is called Alexander the Great. Alexander's story is not just about war, it's about ambition, leadership, and the power of dreams. If a young boy from Macedonia could conquer the world, then you, too, can achieve great things. Dare to dream, dare to fight for your goals, and most importantly, never give up. Because history remembers those who dare to be great.